Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This hour brought to you by Vasectomy Clinics of Chicago.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
If y'all ready, give me a hell yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
With the 71st pick in the 2022 NFL Draft, the Chicago Bears select Velus Jones, wide receiver, Tennessee.
Hendon Hooker down the middle for a touchdown, Tennessee, and Velus Jones.
I was looking for those guys that are explosive and they're playmakers, and they can help in many different areas.
Yeah, I was talking to Luke the other day about his special attributes that he has, and, you know, he's got a big plan for him. You know, he's got a big, you know, he's going to look at his skill set, and then, you know, we'll expand that role. You know, let's start out at receiver, you know, and then let's see what he can do.
Another Tennessee touchdown! This time it's Velus Jones!
He's all business, man. He came in a suit. He was ready to go. Bought his own whiteboard, you know, and he came in ready. He was focused.
Because I'm coming in with maturity, I'm all about my business.
Low throw scooped up off the turf by Jones. Breaks free. Jones to the 10. Touchdown, Tennessee!
Adding that element of speed is important, because as a defense, you have to figure, where is he? You have to find out where he is, and you have to, and then all of a sudden that opens up other things for other people.
You know, I was young, but now that I'm older, you know, I realize, like, what's at stake? Don't care much about partying.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show, afternoons on The Score.
Thrilled to be joined by one of the newest Bears, their third round pick, Velus Jones Jr. on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline. Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Velus, thank you so much for the time, man. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good, my guy. Just got done with a run, so I'm feeling great.
Feeling fast?
Always that.
Oh, well, that's good. So I saw on your Twitter page, and I don't want to put words in your mouth here, but you had a tweet about the video of your 40 at the combine, which is very impressive, 4.31. Were you disappointed in that time?
No, I wasn't disappointed, but I knew that if I were to run in a straight line, because, you know, those that really matters when you bail up to the right like that, and it definitely, you know, adds time. So I knew I could have hit a 4.2. That's what I was aiming at, but fun thing about that, you know, I get to show people on the field now.
Hell yeah.
When did you realize, Velus, that you were fast? That must be nice. We have no idea what that feels like. Do you remember a moment as a kid where you're like, oh boy, I can run?
I would say I was at a park. I was at a park league in Mobile called Municipal Park. And then I wasn't getting that much playing time. You know, they really had no interest in playing with me. And so that's when my dad moved me to Sierra Land with him and my grandmother and my aunts and family members. I moved to Sierra Land. I was playing for Sierra Land Park Field, the same field I'm sitting at now. And I remember Bill Silver was my coach at the time. He's a part of Sierra Land's head board, and he was a running back coach. Well, he was an offensive coach. And then I remember him telling me, he's like, V, I'm going to make you a superstar, because they seen how fast I was. So that's when I made the transition. And I played running back in Park League. And so that's when I realized I was fast. They used to call me Lightning V at the park.
I like that.
Lightning V was gunning for four. So you ran like a 4.31 42-yard dash because you didn't run completely in a straight line. I like that.
Exactly.
What's it like being back at that field that you grew up at now as an NFL draft pick?
Oh, man. This field brings back so many memories. And, like, the crazy thing is, like, especially when I was at USC, like to this day, family members like my cousins and friends and people I grew up with and, you know, still communicate with to this day. We'll do 7-on-7 and 1-on-1s out here. And it's crazy because, like, this field was the field I had my first kickoff return at the age of 10 when I was playing for the Saraland Bills. That's the OG team before it was changed to the Saraland Spartans because of the school system in the whole city of Saraland with city schools. But this was the first field I had my first kickoff return against a real good team that didn't lose a game ever since they were 4 until they were like 10 years old. And so, man, it's just so many great memories, so many touchdowns scored in this field, a big part of my childhood. So, yeah, so many memories.
Velus Jones, Jr., we were looking, and Danny was checking out your Twitter feed, found that you had said Percy Harvin was your favorite player or one of your favorite players. Because we've been making these comps for you, like Cordarrelle Patterson, or we've heard Deebo Samuel, or like kind of this positionless football. And you just talked about being a running back and a kick returner, but you're also a wide receiver. So it sounds like you've always thought of yourself as a multi-position NFL player.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. And I can say, yeah, Percy Harvin, I grew up as a Florida Gators fan, but, you know, that's in the past because I'm a volunteer at heart now. Yeah, I grew up watching Florida, and I just remember how dynamic he was, how versatile. Like, he was electrifying. Like, every time he touched the ball, you didn't know if he was going to score a touchdown or not. He was the most exciting college player when he was in college. And I'm pretty sure people can agree with that, you know. And just, you know, seeing the plays he made, even though his career wasn't that long in the league, but seeing the plays he made and showing at the next level. But I know he had issues with migraines and health problems with things like that. But one of the greatest in my books of all time.
How do you model your game after someone like that, that is kind of an athletic unicorn and scheme dependent? Like, is it hard to emulate someone who is that one of one?
No, it's not hard. Our games are really similar. If you go back and watch my high school film, I remember being in high school, you know, coached by Jeff Kelly at Saraland High School, where I had a big, huge junior season. That's where a lot of offers came in. And I was a Southern Cal commit, ended up committing, going into my senior year. And I was on the outside, and teams, you know, they would cloud me. And and it was, like, really difficult to get the ball when you was out there. They had a triangle around you. So that's when, you know, Jeff Kelly moved me to the slot. And then I even started playing running back. So if you can go check out my film on that, I played running back also just to get the ball in my hands. And so some of those traits I've been having, like, my whole life when it came to playing different skill positions, being a running back when I was younger. I also played cornerback. And that's when I made the transition over to receiver. It was going into my eighth grade year, and I stuck with it. And Odell Beckham was a huge model of my game. Just watching him, you know, prosper and seeing him. Like, I've been following Odell Beckham ever since he was in high school because I remember he had a basketball tournament at Saraland High School. So, you know, following him from high school into college, I was a big Odell Beckham fan, and also Jarvis Landry fan also. Just seeing that duo and the things they did at LSU was unreal. So I took a lot of my game and my mentality from them as well.
Those are great names. We're talking to Velus Jones Jr., new Bears third-round pick. All right, so Odell Beckham, when I think of him, obviously there's the one-handed catch, but slant 80 yards to the house. When I think of Percy Harvin, I think of, you know,
jet sweep.
Jet sweep, right? Give him the ball in any way. I know you will do whatever Luke Getsy and the coaches want. I know you're a team player, and I know you can do everything, kick returns, all that. But if I gave you the power, I said, all right, Velus, your favorite way to get the football. What's your favorite way to have the ball in your hands?
I really don't have no favorite way. It's just so many things I could do with deep ball, you know, taking the top off of a defense, with a screen, a nine route, a slant. And also, you know, I can run routes as well. So it's just so many different ways. I just really like to I'm really blessed with these abilities by God. And so, you know, I just love the creativity, you know, especially what Coach Heupel had. you know, he didn't really run that many now routes and screen plays at UCF because, I do believe I'm a different type of player. I'm a unique type of player. And it's not many people, especially in this draft, this past draft we just had, that have my skill sets and that can do what I can do. And I'm really good with, like, yards after the catch, you know, mentality. Never let the first person tackle you. And, you know, I was taught that, you know, by my dad. You don't never let one person bring you down. So that's something I've been living with my whole life. And, you know, I just run with that that aggressiveness for the passion I have for the game.
Velus Jones, we watched your highlights from the Senior Bowl. You had a great week of practice and a great Senior Bowl and catches and yards. I saw the move you put on Kobe Bryant, kid who ended up getting drafted by the Seahawks. And that's on a route, too. That's on a complicated route. Did that week feel like a step up competition-wise? What did you learn that week at the Senior Bowl?
I was really, like, really blessed, you know, with Jim Nagy and his staff, you know, to allow me to chase my dreams and accomplish something that's been a huge dream for me coming up as a kid. And so that whole week I came with the mentality, like, you know, show these people what you can do. Show these people that you can run routes. Show these people you can make plays that, you know, I feel like I had the persona. I had the image of just a returner at USC. But I was way more than that. And that came to do with the amount of opportunities I was given. And you've seen this past year, you know, when I am given the opportunity and get the targets, what I can do with it. And so, you know, going in that week, it was just a whole, like, mentality. Like, be yourself. Like, you know, I my mindset I have, I don't prove nothing to anybody. I want to prove it to myself, the player I can be. And I still haven't reached my ceiling or had the season I wanted to have. But going into that week, just make plays. And the things I learned, like the route, the corner route I had on your guy you was talking about.
Yeah.
And so at practice, you know, I was running corner routes and they told me how, you know, I could fight pressure with pressure. And so, you know, I took an inside release and he was on the outside of me. So, you know, I bend towards him a little bit. And so when I made the stick, that it was like going to the direction of a post, it was like a double stick. And that lost him for a second. That's the only, like, that's the amount of time you need to create separation. And that was like, what, like a 32-yard pass? And so it was a lot of things I took from coaches, a lot of coaching points, you know. And I was able to go out there and practice and, you know, and put it on film. And so that was a great week overall.
Velus Jones Jr., new Bears wide receiver, kick returner, do-everything player, third-round pick, is our guest. They gave you the locker next to Justin Fields. What did that mean to you?
That means a lot. You know, obviously, you know, they see something in me. That's why they picked me. I was the only receiver taken in this draft. And so I feel like that's a huge part of a bond, building a relationship. I feel like that's really important when it comes to a receiver and a quarterback, having a relationship, building a bond. And so I felt like that was a huge part of that. I've known Justin, but not really like up close in person like that. You know, we talk through social media and things. And so I'm looking forward to, you know, go to work with him. I'm looking forward to, you know, spending time with him, getting to know who he is as a person, you know, what he stands for. And I feel like that's a huge part of the production on the field when it comes between a receiver and the quarterback.
We had heard that he liked your film, that you were on a list that he gave Ryan Poles and the Bears brass. So what's when you say on social media, have you slid into his DMs? Has he slid into yours? How'd that work out, Velus?
No, we was communicating his time at Ohio State, but it wasn't nothing like too big. It was nothing too big at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then I remember, I talked to the staff and I told him the great conversations I had. And I told him that was the best interview I went through with the staff. And I was like saying, man, like, I'm really excited about this. You know, I love to come and play for Chicago. It was that Tuesday before the draft. And so I was just, you know, talking to the staff and stuff. And he was like saying how, you know, we was watching film. We like your film and things like that. And so he was like, you know, we'll see what will happen. And it's crazy, you know, God working mysterious ways. And now I'm a Bear. And I remember after that, he said, we spoke this into existence. And, you know, he gave me his number and told me to lock him in. So I know we're about to get to work.
That's fantastic. You also said on social media, if people only knew what it take what it took for me to be here. With whatever you're comfortable sharing, we know you transferred from USC to Tennessee. You know, you moved. You talked about that in your childhood. But like when you're talking about if people only knew what it took for me to get here, what are you referring to?
Man, just the whole process of my life. My mom, you know, she did what she could for us. And, you know, like my mom was on Section 8. You know, she was real young when she had me and three of my siblings. And that was a, you know, huge part of, you know, me moving to Saraland with my father and my grandmother. You know, and so, yeah, that was huge, you know, to take some of that stress off of her hands and just, you know, living in the projects, you know, seeing different things, seeing violence growing up. And it's just look back and look how far God brought me to every point of my life. You know, I never ever was the star. I always had to work from the bottom. It was never no carpet rolled out for me. I faced a lot of adversity, you know, when it came to coaches, opportunity-wise. But I never, ever gave up. And so, you know, I applied myself for that. But, you know, that was a huge part of, you know, keeping God first. Not, you know, forgetting about him or not trusting the process. Because I know my faith was tested a lot of times, you know, through this process. But, man, it's been a journey. And that's why, you know, I cried so hard, if you can listen to the phone call, because all the blood, sweat, and tears I put in behind this this game of football that I fell in love with at the age of four, I really had to walk a whole lot of miles to get here.
That's beautiful. So you talk about the mission and that you haven't reached your potential. What's the end goal for Velus Jones Jr.?
A gold jacket. and so I never, ever, you know, my grandmother, you know, told me a long time ago, if you're going to do something, do it. You know, don't ever get no poor performance. And so, you know, like I said, I put my heart in this game. And honestly, I can truly say, like, I don't supposed to be here. I know the odds were stacked against me in multiple ways. You know, that's why I made that that tweet saying, if you knew what it took for me to get here. But I beat the odds. I really did. And so that's how I know it was something greater for me. You know, I wouldn't, you know, God didn't bring me this part of that's dropped me, you know. And so, like, I'm a big believer in faith. And, if, you know, if I keep him first, everything could be the way it should be. Everything could be planned out. And I'm a big firm believer. And my life is already written.
The gold jacket for the NFL Hall of Fame. That's a beautiful goal right there for Velus Jones Jr. Speaking of jacket, you remember Matt Forte? You know, you remember the football player Matt Forte, the great Bears running back?
Yeah.
Yeah, we found out that he showed up for day one of his rookie minicamp wearing a suit, Velus Jones, just like you. Matt Forte wearing a suit. That career turned out pretty damn good. So we like the suit. Tell us about the whiteboard, though. Like, what was the thought process?
Yeah, they would have, you know, the plays are on iPads and digital now. Why do we need to buy a whiteboard? That's the thing that we got. We understood the suit.
Right?
We didn't really know why you needed the whiteboard.
You know, I bought it when I was in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. That's when I bought it, down at training at Bomarito. And I am like a visual learner. It takes me writing things over and over. And so instead of, you know, wasting sheets all the time, which I take my notes and write my plays on a sheet, you know, whiteboard is real easy to erase and stuff. And that's something I carry on me. Like, even now, as I'm going over the plays, I'm still learning. Like, I just always, like, you know, keep it on me. Anytime I want to write a play down, and especially like in the meeting room when I had one with the Bears and stuff, like we're going over install, you know, I'm writing a play down to see what I can memorize, the details, the depth. And so it's just, you know, I feel like it's an easier way to always keep that on you. So that's something I've been keeping on me for a while now. And it really helps, you know, when it comes to the learning process.
Wow, that's an amazing answer. Good for you for knowing yourself, knowing what kind of learner you are. That's a huge bit of self-awareness, Velus Jones Jr.
Yes, indeed.
Anyone make fun of you for carrying around a whiteboard, though?
No, they can't tell. I'll be having it in my spray ground backpack. I only pull it out, you know. Yeah, so it slides right on in. It don't stand out that much.
Well done.
All right.
Well done.
That's good. All right, what's the first purchase with the NFL check? When the signing bonus hits, what's the first purchase?
you'll have to stay tuned for that. I'm pretty sure it'll get out anyways, but you know, I'm still thinking on that. You know, still seeing, you know, my plans and stuff. I'm planning stuff for financial advisors. So, you know, that'll come. Right now, I'm focused on learning this playbook and, you know, making a role for my team and establishing that role and, you know, doing that to the best of my ability. That's my main focus right now. How am I going to help the Bears win games?
Listen, man, Bears fans are loving this interview. Our audience is texting in and tweeting. They're a huge fan. Wise beyond your years. A lot was made of the fact that, you know, you'll be 25 as a rookie. And you're just like, it was an advantage because, you know, you don't care about partying so much. You're already done partying at 25? I was not done partying at 25, Valus. That's very impressive.
No, I didn't. No, like, you know, I'll go out. You know, I go out with family members and things like that. But it's no like passion for, you know, when I was young.
Yeah,
and,
sure.
You know, you was a freshman. You want to experience, go out with the freshman class. And, but yeah, those days, I'm all about my business now. And I've been that way for years now. Knowing what it took for me to get here, knowing I beat the odds, I'm definitely not going to let this opportunity slip because I was at 1%. And, you know, I'm going to do everything I can, you know, to pull as much from this game, from connections, lifelong friends, and career-wise as well. And so I'm definitely going to give it all I got, and there'll be more than enough.
Valus, this is incredible, man. Our audience loved it. We love it. And I'm absolutely rooting for you. Please don't be a stranger to the show. We'd love to talk to you again. Best of luck, and we'll talk to you down the road, all right?
All right, my guy. You have a blessing.
Thank you. You as well.
Woo, you understand why they like that guy.
That is Valus Jones Jr.
That is an impressive 25-year-old man.
Oh, my God. I think I'm in love.
That now, guy. Now how do you feel about the Bears draft?
I love the draft. First, I thought I was out.
That's amazing.
They pulled me back in.
There's no way that if Roquan Smith walks up to Valus Jones and said, hey, I got a table at Tao tonight. We're not playing tomorrow. You want to come? He's going to say, no, I'm not going to Tao.
No, but
that's not the point.
That's not the point, but he doesn't have to have like six drinks.
It's not his everything. The whiteboard fits in a backpack.
Oh, the whiteboard, because he's a visual learner, and he knows what he's trying to do and trying to learn.
And, dude, confident.
Confident. And also, just like thoughtful about scheme and routes. He knows that people don't think he's a route runner, so he worked on that and showed him that at the Senior Bowl.
I mean, studying Percy Harvin, mm-hmm. Odell Beckham Jr., and the instant answer, what's your goal? What's the end goal of this mission? The gold jacket?
Whew. Yeah, that's a real answer.
That was a good answer. Mm-hmm. I like this guy.
Now I wondered, was the suit gold? Because that would have been bold to come in with the gold jacket.
That guy's all business, man. I want to talk to him next segment.
It's business time. It's business time for Valus Jones Jr.
I like Valus Jones Jr. a lot. A lot. Can we talk about that interview or do we have to get back to the White Sox? I'm not really sure, but you can also get in your questions for one last thing. It's Parkinson Spiegel at the Score.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
Matt Spiegel got on with some takes that were pure gold.
A little too much Parkinson.
Afternoons on the Score.
Yeah. Get your questions in for one last thing. Please search out the conversation with Valus Jones Jr. if you missed it. Also, send it to a Bears fan in your life because I think it will get Bears fans very excited about the new addition to the team.
You know, it's funny. I spent so much time pining while you were gone, Danny, for George Pickens of the University of Georgia, who I've never heard an interview with. You know,
yeah.
But came with some character questions, came with some teammateship questions. This is not a guy who probably came off like there were any character concerns or teammateship concerns whatsoever.
No, he seems to check all of those boxes, but looking forward to watching him play. Hopefully he's as good of a player as he is a story and interview. And if he is, the Bears are in very good shape. That guy was awesome. But there was so much hand-wringing earlier in the show. And understandably so. Like, that's a tough loss, right? That's a 99th percentile loss. That is a loss that you will remember at the end of the season, no matter how this season ends. You're up 8-2. You give up the grand slam. You have another home run in extra innings. Lose to your division rival. Defensive blunders, managerial blunders. That's a painful loss. Michael Kopech was awesome. Best start of the season. 7 strikeouts. Goes 6 innings. Doesn't give up a hit until the fifth.
Mm-hmm.
Looked like a...
Secondary stuff looked great.
Right, right. Controlling his pitches, like control, fantastic. Plenty of great strike to ball ratio.
Yeah.
Is that not potentially the more longer lasting impactful thing from that game than the tough loss and the blown lead and the defensive plays if Michael Kopech is building towards front end starting pitcher?
I think Kopech has looked like that for most starts on the year.
He hasn't gone that deep, though.
No, I agree. So it's definitely a step for that. And that is great. But I think there's been enough incremental progress towards that and hope towards that, that the sting of the loss, the sting of the ugliness of the loss, far outweighs to me the positive feelings and vibes and potential long-term impact. I guess that's another question. But it in terms of the feelings, the loss way outweighs it. But yeah, I hear what you're saying, because your job as a baseball player is certainly to try to get past the brutal loss and pull the positives from it where you can.
I'm not even like being a contrarian or devil's advocate or whatever. Like, Michael Kopech matters a lot for this season, for the future, for the fan base. I mean, he's fan favorite. A lot's been invested in him. He's gone through a lot. Like, he threw 91 pitches, 56 for strikes. He's got a sub-1 ERA. Only walked 2, only gave up 2 hits. I mean, he's trending in the direction of being built up to throw 100-plus pitches and go 7 innings into games. Mm-hmm. That is a massive, massive thing when you have the talent in their bullpen that they do. And you've had the Lance Lynn injury, and you're waiting on Johnny Cueto, and you don't want to have to rely on Dallas Keuchel every 5 days. Like,
that part was great. That part was absolutely great. And it will be the key to them kind of overcoming their inadequacies as a defensive team and some of their other stuff. And, you know, Stoney was saying this last week, and that is the key. Like, if they should make the playoffs, it will be with the hopes that Giolito, Kopech, and Cease will show up and dominate. Absolutely show up and dominate, go deep into games, and maybe, just maybe, the starting pitching can carry you.
Kopech doesn't do a lot of interviews. He doesn't really do any interviews outside of the mandatory stuff after starts. But he appeared on a podcast. I forgot
with
the name.
With Rob Bradford. WEEI.
Thank you. What do we need to hear from this, Tanny?
Well, this is, you know, obviously he was in the big Chris Sale trade to the Red Sox. So that he's got a history there in Boston. He was, you know, one of their top prospects for many years. And, you know, there was a lot of layers there with him in his younger days in the Boston system with immaturity, fights with teammates and stuff like that. So they begin this brief interview here in the clubhouse talking about maybe if Michael Kopech put too many expectations upon himself coming over as the guy that was traded for Chris Sale back a few years ago.
Yeah, I think we all have a tendency to do that, because, I mean, getting into this game, it's a dream for all of us to be a big leaguer. So you do everything in what you feel like is in your control to make it to the big leagues. And, you know, you realize once you get here that you may have been pressing some of the buttons a little too much or a little too hard. And maybe there's some other things that you need to do to kind of reevaluate. And that's kind of what happened when I got here, especially with Tommy John, having to take that step back too. And I think, you know, just having that injury and that time away from the game, it allowed me to take the pressure off of myself and then, you know, get better when I have the time to.
Was there a piece of advice or a moment you remember as like sort of like a crossroads for you?
I don't know if there was one specific piece of advice or one specific moment as much as it was a collection of moments that just kind of, you know, I started going down this, you know, I think it happens to a lot of ball players when you get something taken away from you that you love to do. I was kind of going down a rabbit hole of just being depressed and not getting to help my team play. And I wanted to come back and make sure I was the best player I could be. And doing that, I realized that I needed to, you know, really focus on some things that I kind of didn't think were as important before, you know, like commanding all my pitches rather than just trying to throw wipeout pitches, or staying as focused as I can in the moment rather than letting the moment build and then trying to make a really big pitch or what have you. You know, the game is a fast game, and I think the key is to slow it down. And when you step out of the game, I think it's a lot easier to recognize that than when you're out there in it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the picture you are now, do you feel like you're like, man, I can't believe like how much better and B, how different I am from, again, the guy who was just trying to throw his, I'm going to want to throw 110. And
yeah, I think it's been a blessing for me. I'm a very different pitcher, I'm a very different person, but I think it's been great for me, because I don't feel like I have to prove myself to anybody anymore. I can just go out there and do the job I'm supposed to do and focus on the task at hand and take it one pitch at a time, rather than trying to, you know, build up this persona of who the, you know, flamethrower is or whatever.
Man, I like that kid a lot. I always have. I know you have too, and you've had really good conversations with him. Once you and me, a couple times I think you and Mac talking about mental health with him and stuff.
Yep.
And I just remember back to when he showed up and you start learning the backstory and remember that his dad totally instilled it in him in a way that, frankly, to me, it bordered on a little controlling with the dad, you know, building all the stuff for him on the side, just having him throw it a certain way and everything like that and just all that. And like, and Kopech kind of had to emerge from his dad's vision of what kind of pitcher he was and then his own vision of what kind of pitcher he was and what kind of person he was. Like, there's a lot of lessons that kid has had to deal with already, and here he is, you know, very likable and self-aware.
That's what it is for me. It's super likable, super self-aware, dealt with a lot. A lot was thrown at him at a young age, and he was unusually vulnerable with it, and you could tell that real life stuff weighed on him.
Yep.
You know,
stuff affected
celebrity relationship, pregnancy, like all sorts of things for injury, trade, and he dealt with it in like a super uncharacteristically, not uncharacteristic for him, uncharacteristic for athletes, vulnerable way. And I just always respected the hell out of him. So I will always root for Michael Kopech.
Yeah. Yeah. And he pitched beautifully last night, and it's great to see him healthy and extending and going deeper, going longer. Tim Anderson was asked about the defensive issues. That was a very volatile conversation that we had for a while on this show earlier with upset fans. And Tim Anderson was quoted before the game today saying, "Of course we want to make all the plays. It's not like we're out there intentionally trying to F up. We've just got to be realistic and understand we're playing a tough game. All we can do is try to get better. I'm sure everybody's had a bad day at work." Yes. Yes, we've all had bad days at work.
Speak for yourself, man.
Someone texted it in, and I closed the tab earlier to check the numbers, and they were right. So he had 10 errors last year in like 460-something chances.
Yeah, and he's got nine.
And he's got nine in 93 chances this year.
Yeah,
that is a statistical anomaly. That's insane. That means one out of every 10 times the ball's coming his way, he's making an error. That's just not going to happen.
But how is that not going to happen? Like, it's some of it is obviously a focus issue, a prioritization issue, or at least a mind wandering issue, like those kind of things. That's why you have to sit down and talk to him and figure it out. I mean, it was an 8-3 game at that point when he's catching the ball coming back in from Pollock, or was it still 8-2? I think it was still 8-2.
It was 8-2.
It was 8-2. But that
did
was.
Did it lead off the inning with a home run, making it 8-3?
Yeah, right. That's why I thought it was 8-3. That's right. So 8-3 after the solo homer.
Shane was at the game.
I was there, but it's hard to tell.
It's hard to tell at the game. Like, very difficult.
You know, you're looking at the scoreboard.
Yeah, three platinums an hour.
They don't sell platinum there. It's a Miller Coors Stadium.
Excuse me. My mistake. But that's a very lackadaisical effort to hold the arm up and then turn the head and drop the relay throw and then make the bad throw. It's like just so damn sloppy. That's focus. So he'll hopefully it will get better. Statistically, that is rare, but get better.
Definitely needs to be better. We will answer your questions for one.
You're right, Danny. You are.
It definitely nailed it.
I had nothing to add. I mean, he's making error one out of every 10 times the ball's coming.
They make me so sad, the White Sox.
Just get a grip, okay? Get a hold of yourself. You going to be okay? You going tonight?
No, I'm not going tonight.
Going tomorrow night?
No, it's a day game tomorrow.
Okay. Wow.
Sorry, I kind of derailed that whole thing there just with some emotion.
Emotion's good. You feel things. You love sports. Big sports guy.
Yeah. Last night must have sucked in person, dude.
It did.
I mean,
you stayed till the end? Yeah. You were there the whole time?
It really did.
Oh, God.
Did not feel good at all.
I saw the crowd dwindling as, you know, between the ninth and the.
Yeah, and the fact that they stopped 12th. Selling beer between the bottom and top of the seventh.
Oh, that's the worst.
You experienced that whole thing sober.
Nothing to numb the pain.
Oh, dude. When people are sobering up as a game is falling apart,
yeah.
That's rough stuff.
Yep. Yeah, it was bad. I don't have words outside of that was the most disappointing live baseball experience I've had.
Damn.
Hey. There's always tonight.
I was at the game and they were eliminated in the playoffs by the Astros. I was there. This was more disappointing than that.
Oh, you knew they were toast by
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
This was... Yeah.
I felt like a pile of human garbage last night. I wasn't even on the field. I live and die. Isn't it wild how I have so much emotion and so much feeling for one baseball team, but I couldn't give a crap about any other professional sport or sports team?
You can't really give a crap about very little else.
I know.
I say same. You know, the Bears fandom is a little dormant. Like, if the Bears just did anything to get me excited, I think it would come out.
At least
but
you guys have
don't.
That one left. You know, that's good. It's healthy to have that left. I feel like you're probably channeling more into that you don't even realize you're doing it subconsciously because you don't have other families.
Right. You got to have one. Is that a knock at me not having a family also?
Not at all.
Like you have a family. Life?
Not at all. I said fandoms. Fandoms, not family.
Yeah, no, you just... Your dad and mom both fake sick on Father's Day and Mother's Day to not hang out with you.
Sweet reminder.
Oh, he brought up family. You said fandom, and he took it to family.
He really did. Oof, we hear what we want.
Yeah, little projection. We answer your questions. Probably just one or two. It's Parkinson Spiegel on the Score.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
It's been a long 4 hours.
Afternoons on the Score.
Just one more thing, please.
I thought you had a clock to punch.
I do. I'm leaving right now.
It's time for One Last Thing.
Were you ever able to dunk?
I just want to ask you one question.
I'm insulted by the question, yes. I don't know.
Ask any question.
I just want to ask you.
For anyone on the
one
show.
Question.
I completely understand the questions that are going to come.
I just want to ask you one question.
I know that these questions could go on and on each and every day.
I just want to ask you one question.
Is that a real question? What you want me to say to that?
I just want
to
ask you one question.
Why y'all be so negative? I didn't think about that. I don't know. Good last question.
I just want to ask you.
Well, that's a great question.
One question.
One last thing with Parkinson Spiegel on 670 The Score.
All right, people know the drill by now. You text and twitch them in. What do we got, Shane?
Charlotte J, what's one thing you could tell you wish you could tell your younger self, like Tariq Cohen today?
That's a great question.
Boy.
Don't. It's good to have a goal and be driven and like have a destination, but be sure you fully enjoy where you are. I do think that sometimes, like the story of like, I wish I would have stopped and smelled the roses. You hear people say that, and like, I wish I would have enjoyed it more along the way. I definitely have those feelings sometimes about thinking about the next thing or the next move or the next advancement. That sometimes I'm not totally in the moment and satisfied with where I've been professionally.
It's good. Don't sell yourself short in terms of finding a life partner. Hold out for somebody who really is wonderful and makes you feel great.
Just believe in yourself. No one else will believe in you for you. You've got to do it yourself.
Enjoy every single thing for what it is and don't look for the next thing while you should still be in the current present day, which I think is what you said, but same thing.
Wow, we all took that question seriously.
Yeah, I was going to say, hey, don't worry, man, you're going to have sex one day. But I wanted to stay
Valus took it seriously, man.
He did.
And Tariq Cohen took it seriously, these opportunities, these moments.
Okay.
It's the least we could do.
That was very mature of us.
Coach Ryan, 18, if you had to, what one single cuisine could you eat for the rest of your life?
That's a great question.
It is. Good ones today. We only have time for two of them.
I love Chinese, but there's no way I could eat Chinese for my entire life, I don't think.
I assume, like, I've heard this question, like, a restaurant. Like, is steakhouse, would that?
Yeah, American fare, I'd say.
Okay, then that's probably what I would choose.
I would say Japanese cuisine. Japanese cuisine for my entire life. Hmm.
Danny wants pub burgers every day of his life. Good, man.
Potato fries.
Delicious.
Dead by 40.
Lobster escargot.
I would go Greek food.
Really?
Because if you had to eat it every day, it's relatively healthy if you do it right. And there's also just a vast variety of ways you can eat it and things you can eat. The chicken, pork, sakanaki. You know what I mean?
I feel like you can be healthy at a steak. A piece of salmon and a veggie.
Steak is not unhealthy. It's not. It's not unhealthy, Mom. I'm going to go similarly to Tanny, go coastal and say Mediterranean. I would, because there's still steak there. There's a lot of fish, a lot of good vegetables.
Yeah.
Seasonal foods.
Reminds me of the world cuisines conversation I've been wanting to have.
We have to have that conversation because I've been thinking about it a lot lately.
All right. We'll get there.
When I go to bed at night.
I don't know if I'm familiar with the world cuisines conversation that you want to have.
We'll talk about
it. It was born when he was in the DR.
It's true.
Oh, okay. I was not in the DR. With you.
Yeah, we know.
Yeah.
Thank God.
Yeah, I was here hosting the show.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Our guests today were Tom Hamilton, Joe Ostrowski, and Valus Jones Jr. Definitely seek out the podcast of the conversation with Valus. The other guys were good as well, but I think you'll enjoy the conversation with Valus Jones Jr. Thank you to Ray Diaz for his contributions. Connor O'Donnell, Twitch chat, and video stream. Shane Reardon, our executive producer. Thank you, sir. Chris Tannehill makes us sound better than we are each and every day. For Matt Spiegel, I'm Danny Parkins. We are Parkins and Spiegel. This is The Score.
Well, I mean, I didn't enjoy going through this. You know, I think we had some really bad segments, a lot of ups and downs. We didn't finish. And I give our guys credit. They responded. We just lost our way, and then it was good to see our guys compete.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.